The next case was presented by Dr. Roach to Dr. Friedland.
I just treated a gentleman from Southern California who had a radical prostatectomy and again had positive nodes, both on two different types of imaging. And I forget whether he had a PET or a prostacin or both or whatever the details, but basically, and he had a positive node. And actually, I'm treating another gentleman with a very similar history. And the question is, should they be treated? I mean, your patient is a definitive patient, and this is the post-op patient. And I basically extrapolate from that the same basic principles. So that patient just finished treatment, so I don't have long-term follow-up on him. But I suspect that many urologists would simply, if they found him after radical to have positive nodes, would just put him on hormone therapy. And there is a retrospective study from Spain where they looked at patients after radical. I've never seen the publication. I've only seen the abstract presented at the AUA. And they looked at those people who got hormones alone versus those who got hormones and radiation, and the patients who got hormones plus radiation did better. There's also the SANDS study from MD Anderson that was published a number of years ago, SANDS. And they looked at patients who went to radical and were found to have positive nodes, and some of them got hormones alone, and some of them got hormones and radiation. Again, non-randomized, and the patients who got radiation did a lot better. So I think that, you know, we're extrapolating from the definitive treatment studies with hormones and radiation, and we're extrapolating from the adjuvant trials like SWOG and EORTC. And at the present time, I favor that sort of aggressive approach of hormones, external beam radiation, even in node-positive patients who are post-op as opposed to just using hormone therapy alone. The messing data is impressive. Those people had prostatectomies, but frequently the patients with locally advanced disease will still have positive margins and positive nodes. So that tends to be my bias.
I mean, I think it's a great point, and I think improving local control, both in the lymph nodes as well as in the pelvis, will improve long-term survival. It was interesting in terms of, as urologists, what is our usual mantra for node positive? And based upon the messing, 93 men usually is immediate lifelong hormonal therapy. And actually working with Ning Wong and Katrina Armstrong, we looked at the SEER Medicare database, and this was presented at this year's ASCO prostate cancer meeting, and basically looked at the SEER Medicare data for men who had node-positive disease after radical prostatectomy, who, and this is a retrospective observational study, who had immediate hormonal therapy, and we did sensitivity analysis to define immediate, but the primary analysis was within 3 months of surgery, they got hormones, or they didn't get hormones within 3 months. And the idea was that a lot of these men got hormones at the time of PSA recurrence or rapid doubling times, not like messing where they had to wait to metastatic disease. I think that's too late for these high-risk men. And in that retrospective analysis, we saw no benefit to immediate hormonal therapy in the node-positive patients. So to me, node-positive doesn't necessarily equal lifelong hormones. Because if you look at the messing, the no hormone therapy arm, as well as data from Hopkins and others, there's a small percentage, 15% of patients with node positive disease that are cured with radical alone. So I think it may be reasonable to add the radiation in a short course of hormones, but not necessarily commit that person until we know the PSA is rising and with a certain doubling time to a lifelong hormonal therapy.
Well, or what I usually do is put them on long-term hormone therapy for the patient who doesn't have anything else. I mean, if they just have a microscopic positive nodes, they've had a prostatectomy, for example, and even if their PSA is undetectable or very low, I will treat them, and usually, you know, 2 years or 3 years or whatever of hormone therapy is what I would typically do. I do think that patients with positive nodes should get hormone therapy early. I don't think that in the messing study, my interpretation of the study was that they did not wait for people to develop metastatic disease. Some did develop metastatic disease, but that wasn't, if you look at the median time for them to receive salvage hormone therapy or hormone therapy in the control arm, it was around 14, 16 months, and the median PSA was around 10 or 12 or something in that range. So those patients aren't likely to have had gross metastases. So I don't think that it really was a immediate hormone therapy versus hormone therapy when people got metastases. I think it was immediate hormone therapy versus hormone therapy when people's PSAs got to a certain level or they got metastases. And I think most of those men probably did not have metastases when hormone therapy was started in the delayed arm. There seems to be something different about the biology of prostate cancer if you wait too long to start hormone therapy. So earlier we were discussing intermittent hormone therapy. And some preliminary studies that suggest that it may be comparable. But the first thing they did was they removed the bad actors from that, and they took the people who had initially really good responses, which your patient really doesn't have. Well, it was less than four.
Right.
But I don't know how he would have compared in that study.
For the intermittent hormonal therapy that we were discussing earlier, he would be a candidate because you needed PSA below four and then want to be randomized to intermittent or continuous.
But that was after what period of time?
I think it was 6 months. Okay. 3 to 6 months, and this was after 4 months, as PSA went from 160 to 0.9.